from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Found out today that Mike had a little bit of a scare.
Ooh.
Thinking that she was pregnant, but she's not.
No, she's not.
And
he was
a little bit afraid, but yes. It didn't go down that way. I'm just glad that Becky's arm is not, right. Off.
Can you imagine how a third personal seat license would affect me for Falcon games?
Okay, you know what? That's just too much right there. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mike, we're going to get back into the Braves. Grant's going to stop by. Great game last night. One of the best pitching performances we've seen all season long. And, yes, it was Chris Sale again who did it. Braves win, and hopefully, again, we get a good start from Morton tonight. He's going up against Kyle Harris, I believe it is, and it should be, again, hopefully giving us a chance to win. This is what we talk about. I say this all the time. When you're starting pitching, and we saw this in the last series, we saw it against the Marlins, when it does not give you a chance, guys, you're done. If your starter goes out and gives up 4 or 5 runs, it's so hard to overcome.
You know, Soler making a big running catch coming to the infield, it wasn't bad, right?
No, it wasn't.
Maybe coming in, he's okay. Laureano is a hot mess. Apparently, he's got like a heel injury. We got like the worst fielding outfield in the show right now.
I agree.
We'll talk about it with Grant. But that's why when Money Harris, I think if I'm right, we'll make sure Grant's got it. But I think Thursday makes it 60 days for the DL. And then we get Money Harris back, who's been killing it for the Stripers.
All right. With that said, let's talk about the Falcons, guys. This hour, again, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. The deal with the Falcons is they have an off day. Tomorrow we're back up there. We've been telling you all day we'll be back at Hooters Mall of Georgia Wednesday and Thursday up there. And, where this team is right now, okay, are they going to sign any new players in light of the injuries, okay, whether it's Moore, Trice, Helms? So they're bringing in guys, and we've been talking about this. The Simmons deal, there's nothing to report as of yet. It doesn't mean that they might not like what they see or what they've talked about, or maybe, Mike, that they are going to get a deal done, but nothing to report as we speak. And so somebody said to me, all right, the longer this goes, it's bad news, right? Well, look, this isn't a situation where you're competing with other teams. He already visited the Saints. Maybe he comes here and leaves, and it doesn't mean that they don't get a deal done. Maybe he's just checking all of his options. I do think, Mike, though, they're going about this the right way. You got to look at everybody right now.
I mean, like, maybe the agent's just looking for a better signing bonus. The money is going to be a part of this, but they're not going to spend too much on the dude.
Agreed.
But he is an upgrade. Look, it's better than Richie Grant. It's better than DeMarco Helms. You could argue based on experience. He's older than those guys, but he's been there and done that. And all of a sudden, you got guys with Pro Bowl experience. Jesse Bates, you know, it really is. He's number one or two as far as best safeties in the league. But I'm more focused still on the front side of the defense and taking the pressure off the back end. We spent a lot of time today talking and yesterday about the corners. Kevin King, even though he's been out of football for 2 years, looks pretty good. You know, they still like Hughes. Hughes was on the team last year. They seem to dig him. You heard the Clark Phillips conversation with Steak earlier today. So maybe it's not as bad in that cornerback room, but, you know, for me, the edge rush. Help the back end by getting the quarterback on the ground so you have all day to pick apart those guys in the backside.
Yeah, I listen, secondary is so hard when you talk about having a great secondary where you have great safety play. Again, like Legion of Boom, right? You had great corners, you had great safety play, but they also had a tremendous front seven.
Right.
And that's when all of that comes together and you're getting sacks and turnovers and all the things that make up a great defense. That is what makes the difference. Raheem Morris was asked about losing Braylon Trice and what it means for the defense.
It's always tough when you use a rook. You know, you use a guy that you're about to count on the edge to be able to have a role and be able to find his roles and all those type of things. But, you know, I'll give you the cliche. It's got to be the next man up mentality, which always happens, and that's always going to be the case. But he was defining a real role for us where he was a guy that can play on first or second down. He brought some pass rush and some of those things. So you got to find it elsewhere, right? JSW goes out there and gives us a nice first down reps. You got AK that goes out there and gives you a nice third down reps, and now you got to get it from somewhere else where you're expecting this guy to really ascend and do some really good things for you. But I don't like losing people at all, particularly when there's a guy, a rookie that really was a nice pick and was doing a great job and doing some really good things for us out there on the football field.
Carving out a niche.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was talking about when I said he was going to get significant snaps.
Yep.
Is he a starter for you? Sometimes in the NFL, we get so caught up with that. I always talk about who's playing in the fourth quarter when it matters most.
Right.
Who's on the field on third down, Mike, in a situation where you got to get off the field. Braylon was one of those guys, to Coach's point, that was carving out that niche. So how do you replace that? What do? You said that there are some guys on the edge that seem to be stepping up.
Yeah, I know yesterday when we were at practice, I don't know if we mentioned this yesterday, but former Georgia Bulldog Lorenzo Carter, who's, you know, he's had decent, you know, good seasons, but never got over five sacks in a season, looks the part. Maybe he can get some traction. He did have what would have been a sack on Penix, but that comes back to also Penix maybe not sort of identifying what's going on defensively. Maybe that one extra count that he's holding the ball. But
for
Carter
sure.
Did get there for what it's worth.
No doubt.
But I just, look, I'd love to think, but you could also argue that guys who have had three sacks, four sacks, five sacks, three sacks, they're not going to just pop for 15, you know, unless Big Chuck Smith is coaching him up or something. I don't know. But it just seems to me, Lorenzo Carter, he kind of is what he is. We'd love to see more from him, but
yeah,
he's a solid piece.
I'm with you, Mike. It's a slow build, right? This is why I'm high on Ebukadi, because 6.5 or whatever last year, you can build on that. You can say, you know, getting to 10 is not unrealistic. That's where he should be. And if that happens, then maybe, you know, in his third or fourth year here, we're going into now you've developed where you feel like you're comfortable enough to be a double-digit sack guy every year. But I'm with you. If you've been in the league 6-7 years, this is what I say about all these guys. You're not changing who they fundamentally are. Doesn't mean they can't play. Doesn't mean they can't help you. But if you're expecting 15 sacks from Zoe, I don't believe that's going to happen.
Hey, by the way, you just mentioned Legion of Boom. I went back. I looked at the 2014 Seahawks. So just real quick, look at these. And this is from PFF, quality starters. They had Michael Bennett. They had Cliff Averill. Cliff Averill was a guy we were begging to get here in Atlanta for a time. Bruce Irvin, Bobby Wagner at linebacker, Kevin Williams, Malcolm. They had rotational guys for the defense, to your point. But that just helps everybody. It's all interconnected. And, of course, you mentioned that amazing secondary, Sherman and Maxwell and Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas.
Yeah, Chancellor was a great safety. And that's when DQ came here, it was the part that we didn't understand, not as a football, as football was evolving. He had done it there with Cam Chancellor and them. He comes here and he goes and gets Keanu Neal. And we went, what is he doing? He knew how important that safety position was to what he was trying to get accomplished.
Right.
So we talk about it now. Free agency. We go get Jesse Bates. People lost their minds. What are they doing? That's stupid. Why do you do that? Because the safety position has changed in the National Football League,
right,
and it plays such a huge role into how these coaches scheme. So if that guy's good, Mike, it makes everybody else around them better, but it doesn't mean that you just, you know, you lack on the corner position. We still need, I think, another guy to step up. Now, is it going to be King, as you talked about? Because Jerry Gray talked about Kevin King, and what he has to prove has to do more about his physical capabilities. Listen to this.
Well, to me, I think he can. It's going to take some time. You know, number one, it takes trust from coaches that he's been out for 2 years, you know. Mm-hmm. So do we trust him enough to get out on the football field? Okay, Miami, yep, we've seen that. Now can you put it together again against Baltimore? Can you do it against Jacksonville? And then all of a sudden, you know what, then you let the chips fall where they may. And I think if he's on this team, you'll see a guy that can make some plays. You know, Kevin, he has great ball skills. He knows what he can do. And then, like I said,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
I like him because I know what he can do. So now you just got to prove to everybody else.
Yeah, and I think that's why he's here. He said, I know what he can do because Jerry worked with him.
And that's one of the things we talked about. There's always that familiarity. So we're going to see if there's still nothing as far as adding a safety just yet. And one other thing, you know, we're just talking about edge rushers. Guy, I don't think we've mentioned too much this offseason and now into the preseason. D'Angelo Malone.
Yep.
That was a third-round pick. You know, Cedar Grove, Hilltopper, and that's a guy that also looks the part. You know, I mean, size-wise, he looks like he could be the dude. He was getting some second-team reps yesterday, but that's a guy that, you know, man, if these guys, we always talk about Ebba Cady, if these guys could just elevate their game, or are you just, you are what you are, in which case, maybe you should be talking to Judon or Hassan Reddick or the teams that own their rights and try to make a deal.
No doubt. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, Falcon Report brought to you again by our friends this hour, by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. One other thing, Kyle Pitts, we played the interview back morning shift, had a chance to visit with him. It's online at odyssey.com. For me, I've been telling you offseason, we're almost to the season, most important piece on the offense. If he can be the difference maker, this thing opens up in a completely different way. And Kyle Pitts says that Kirk Cousins has been telling him a lot of different things. How does he apply what Cousins tells him?
Just competitive excellence. He's been, like I said, he's been running a lot of ball, so he's seen, you know, great tight end, great receiver. So it's just for me to listen to what he's saying and apply it.
Yeah, I hope, again, that he does and is able to apply a lot of these things. But, Mike, we said it. He hadn't had that since Matt Ryan.
Yep, and he's a dude that we think is going to have a breakout year. By the way, at some point we're going to have to do those over-unders that Chris likes to set right before we start the season. Could you imagine? It's hard to imagine Kyle Pitts getting in the end zone 8 to 10 times, being that red zone weapon, maybe. That's why he was drafted 4th overall.
Strong arm story of the day is coming up. Okay. They went back. They tried to do a time machine. It's not really working out the way we thought. But there are some things that we can be positive about as the Braves have returned into pole position for the wild card. A game ahead of the Mets. We're going to get into what happened, and we'll talk to Grant McCauley along the way as well. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
By John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
We all knew yesterday was a tough one. We had to get over that one quick. And coming in here, obviously we needed to win this one. Obviously it was a grind from the start. I mean, Snell's, you know, that's about as good as you're going to see out there. So just to be able to grind through that and overcome that, that was big time. And that kind of shows what this group is about. And, being able to do that after a tough night and, you know, the start to a tough night tonight was impressive.
That's Chris Sale, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 12 strikeouts, 7 innings pitched. His ERA now stands at 2.61. He's right. That was a grind. And he was tasked with going out and out pitching Blake Snell. And he pretty much did that, Mike. And, I mean, you win 1-0 in 10 innings. That was the key. But here's what I want to get to, Mike, because reunions very rarely go well. Many of you have tried to celebrate your high school reunions, and you've gone back 20, 25, 30 years, and you've gone back, and when you went, it wasn't the same. You saw a few people that you liked. It was like high school. You saw a few people you didn't like, and you realized, okay, maybe I shouldn't have come, or maybe you had a great time. But rarely does it work. And the reunion to bring back Adam Duvall, Eddie Rosario, Mike, Luke Jackson, all of these guys had declined since they left the Braves, but they were enticed to bring them back to think that it would work again. Listen, Soler's hit a couple of home runs. That's great. He's going to do that. But overall, this reunion has not necessarily worked the way that we thought it would.
Right.
And again, you're going to say, well, Dukes and Bell, wait a minute. How, you know, aren't you guys going to wait until we get to September? No, we're not.
Well, I mean, is Adam Duvall going to crack 200 by September? I mean, this is his fourth act with us, and everybody loves Duvall because he's generally been a really clutch guy. But this year, we always know it's high risk, high reward, a lot of strikeouts and a lot of power, a lot of slugging, and a solid piece in the outfield. But this year, he just doesn't have it. Rosario didn't have it. You know, I mean, the Solera, I mean, that's a nice power surge we saw in Colorado. Some guys are going to say, yeah, that's Colorado. But,
right.
So if he can do it at sea level the rest of these games with the Giants on the West Coast swing, then okay. But, yeah, it was a bit of wishful thinking to think you could put the band back together. That's why we joke, might as well call Jock Peterson, too, and make it all together, you know, the 2021 rematch. It's just not, it's not come together. It's not, you know, as a fan, it doesn't make you a bad fan to say Adam Duvall can't hit. He can't. What has to happen is, you know, again, you've got to get Money Harris back out there, because when we put that outfield, when Laureano's in the outfield, he makes Soler look like a gold glover. I mean, these guys are butchers. This is the worst outfield, Carl, in Major League Baseball defensively. So you need Money Harris's bat. You're going to need his glove. We'll talk to Grant about it coming up. But, yeah, sometimes, as the man said, Thomas Wolfe, you can't go home again.
It's rare where reunions just make you feel as good as it did the first time.
Yeah.
And if many of you have brought up high school reunions, you went to your 10-year or whatever, and it was great. You're starting your career, and things are going well. And everybody's – go back to your 30 reunion if you're that old, and you will see that it's just different. It's not the same. And so with that said –
well, my click's my click. I mean, you know, the people we didn't like back in 86, we still don't like.
Well, those are the people that you're in contact with, though. The only thing that's changed is Facebook allows you to sneak up on people and see what's going on in their lives. That's the only thing. This is something that, as we look at the season play out, if you're going to tell me by adding Duvall and Rosario and bringing back Luke and Jorge Soler, if we go to the playoffs, that was going to be the difference. I asked the question today, and I'm asking you now, what are you certain of when it comes to this team? After last night, Chris Sale's performance, Mike, if you have not given him the credit he deserves this season, I don't know what you've been watching. Mm-hmm. Chris Sale's been money. He's in the Cy Young hunt. Ozuna has carried the team, not for 1 month, damn near 4. I'm certain of those two guys. Iglesias has been really good as a closer, but he doesn't get the love because, Mike, we've been up and down so much.
Right. Not getting all the opportunities.
Yeah.
But again, if you look at his success rate as far as blown saves, he's doing, you can't use nothing you can complain about him. As I said, I got to get over the, you know, he's got to throw 100 miles an hour like the elite closers. He's good. Ozuna's the guy. Riley has been solid. Riley's been batting at a 285 clip now for 2 months in a row. That's about it. I mean, you mentioned Sale and Iglesias. That's all you can really bank on.
Yep.
So, and Matt Olson has been super streaky. Let's check Matt Olson. Is he? Are we getting good Matt Olson? Or are we getting bad Matt Olson?
You're not certain of Matt Olson at this point.
He's batting 275 for August, coming off batting 172 for July.
Here's the difference.
I know the OPS, you can get into. He's not walking a lot either.
No.
That's the thing.
Slugging and on base are not where they need to be. But when you talk about those crunch time, those big moments, you know, high leverage, whatever you want to call them, guys. Man on, two outs, Olson's up. You trust it? Not like you did last year.
Well, again, half the season he's batting with Ozuna, so there's no reason for him not to be getting, you know, the results. You know, this is frustrating. He's a guy that we've talked a lot about. Also, Sean Murphy now. Sean Murphy, and I'm sure Grant will tell us next segment, look, you got to get off his back. He doesn't have a full sample size.
You're not certain of Sean Murphy.
No, but he hasn't hit, and he's starting to hit now. Again, we're only 11 days into the month of August, but his month of August is better. He's batting 273 right now. He is 6-for-22. If that stays on, okay, I can live with that. I don't expect him to be a 300 hitter, but I don't expect him to be as bad as he was when he came back.
You guys let us know what you think. 404-726-0929. This all is a part of this equation and this calculated risk that Alex Anthopoulos took in bringing these guys back. If it was going to work, we would already feel it.
But again, it's...
And you know what's already happened?
I know, but...
Rosario's already gone.
But what's he supposed to do? Bring Randy or Rosarena in? There was nobody else to bring in. Tommy Pham? That's about it. Bring in Rooker from the A's. He can't play the field either. He's a DH. So, I mean, I'm not making... Look, you know me. I always want to win everything, and we got to go for it. But this was one of those years where you're creating a logjam in the outfield. I'm still surprised they took on Soler's contract, if we're honest.
I am, too, which is why I said don't do anything. Let it play out. Like, get these guys back healthy. Hopefully, we're talking about Harris. We're talking about Ozzie. Nevertheless, the calculated risk this time, in my opinion, has not played out the way that we thought it would. Again, the crazy thing, Mike, is we're still a game ahead of the Mets in the wild card, right? We're still seven out behind the Phillies. But it just doesn't feel like, okay, we're going to take off. And last night I stayed up late to watch this pitching duel because I love pitching duels. We don't get enough of them. I mean, most times guys don't get a chance to stay in the game long enough to do what we saw Snell and Chris Sale do last night. But I loved it, and it was one of those things, whatever you can do, I can do better. Okay, you're going to go out, you're going to get three guys out. I'm going to go out and strike three guys out. And it was back and forth, and you didn't know which way the game was going to go, and luckily we were able to get the win.
Especially with C.B. Buckner behind the plate, by the way. We got hosed on a lot of calls, too. I know it was Blake Snell, but even when the relievers got in, it wasn't exactly going our way, but we got some clutch.
And it was, you know, again, 1-0 in the 10th. I just feel like, though, again, when you say to me, hey, man, I feel really good, Dukes, about this team, what are you certain of? And if you can't check more than 4 or 5 boxes, it makes you wonder about the overall, the health and wealth of this team.
Now, look, the thing is, if you look at the Diamondbacks, and look, 21, I mean, for all the years we won close to 100 games, the 21 team was scuffling. If you get hot, the one thing you can still say, I can give you a chance.
But calculated risk paid off with all the moves.
But the thing is, we still get Michael Harris back, and if Ozzie can come back and play well, if Ozzie Albies can come back and hit, that's a hell of a potent bat in the middle of the lineup you are missing right now.
Agreed.
So, and Michael Harris has been killing it. He's been so far so good. You know, we talked about it. You got to come back, but you also got to be really good. And maybe, just maybe, Snit gives him another crack at the leadoff spot. He's got to take some more walks, but that could be a spark for you. I'm with you. I'm glass half empty on this team. I can't lie. Every time you try to pump it up, you throw that garbage out that you saw Sunday at Coors Field. That can't happen.
What does Charlie Morton do tonight? We're going to talk to Grant McCauley coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on what goes down the rest of this series. It was a good win last night. It's funny. You went from the worst loss of the season to probably the most compelling win. To have a 1-0 game in the 10th inning in a pitcher's duel, which was completely unexpected. Yeah.
Brandon Gaudin had a great call. You're right. From literally the lowest low to like the old school high pressure, the entire game was high leverage.
You need – and here's the other thing. Sale can't pitch every game in the playoffs, guys. You need Ronaldo Lopez to come back, and you need Freed to get healthy, Mike. That's a whole nother issue.
But that's a lot
of ifs.
That's why, I mean, it doesn't make you a bad person to doubt some of the things that are happening with the ball club. been more injuries you could ever imagine for this team. Pitching hasn't been great. Maybe Ian Anderson, you know, if Anderson could come in, when the hell is Ian Anderson coming up? We'll ask Grant. I bet you he'll know the answer.
That's another if. It's next.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Coming up in 20 minutes, everyone talking about Hassan Reddick wanting out of the Jets. Well, his quarterback wants him there. We'll tell you about that and much more. Stay tuned. Grant McCauley is here to talk Braves with us as we go around the yard. Grant, how do you describe what we saw last night? Because it was from one of the worst nights of the year to one of the best nights with Chris Sale's performance.
It's pretty incredible when you think about how you can go from one end of a spectrum to another, and that is exactly what the Braves did. They went from a game where they scored a ton of runs and should have won and somehow lost to a game where they scored the only run of the night, and we got to see what I would describe as one of the better pitching duels, certainly this year, but in recent memory for the Braves, because you had Chris Sale doing everything that Chris Sale has shown he's capable of doing this year. And on the other side is a resurgent Blake Snell, who's been pitching incredibly since coming off the injured list for the Giants. So about as bad as the previous night was about as much fun, I think, to watch last night's game, just for the style in which it was, the stark contrast to playing in Coors Field, and, of course, finding a way to come out with the win.
Yeah, as Carlos said, we love it. We're older guys. Carlos is not as old as me, but just love the old pitching duel. Not that every fan out there loves it. We want more offense, but it was great. And surprising with C.B. Buckner behind the plate, because that guy's a butcher. I think he's like 88 of 90 with the umps. And I think some of the strike zone for the Braves is a little sketchy.
Yeah, there's always some sketchiness that's involved with C.B. Buckner. But fortunately, maybe this was one of those nights where he wasn't the entire story. The pitching duel got to be the story. And even with him behind home plate, it wasn't sometimes a complete mess that it can become with him. So Overall, yeah, you hate when the umpire becomes any part of the story. And fortunately, last night, save a handful of pitches here or there where I'm sure some different batters were kind of rolling their eyes, it wasn't too much of a factor, at least from a viewership perspective.
If the team was more consistent, Raisel Iglesias could be maybe, I'm not saying at the top of the list, but he'd certainly be maybe a little bit higher up there with the saves. He was great last night, too.
Yeah, that was a huge performance for Raisel, coming in and doing the multi-inning thing for him as well, because, you know, when you're on the road and you're just trying to win a game and you got to go with the best that you've got, and obviously as the Braves on a day that they found out that they may not have A.J. Minter for a while, if not the rest of the year, having other guys that you can count on to step up. Joe Jimenez bounced immediately back from that forgettable outing for him the day before in Colorado. It was good to get him back on the beam. But, yeah, I think that the bullpen, MVP, at least for last night, and one of their best relievers all year long, has been Raisel Iglesias. And that's, I think, exactly what you need to see to know that you have that consistency at the end of the game, because there's a lot of high-leverage situations to get there, but you don't want it to become a big question mark once you put the ball in your closer's hands, and Raisel delivered big time last night.
What are we going to get from Charlie tonight? Can we get that kind of performance?
Well, if we continue the theme of alternating good and bad starts, I think that bodes well for this one. But in all seriousness, I think you'll take a quality start, and you'd love to see the offense kind of pick up where it left off. Blake Snell, you have to give as much credit as we give Chris Sale on one side, you have to give Blake Snell on the other side for what he did for the Giants last night. So if you can get the offense going a little bit more this evening, give Charlie a lead to work with would certainly be helpful. And, if he can keep the ball in the ballpark, that's been a little bit of a problem for him lately. It was a couple of years ago. Then it seemed like he got it right last year. And then there have been a few outings this season that you just kind of wondered, is this going to be a problem? Is it a problem? Can he sort it out and get it figured out the way he needs to? Because at this point, I think you're just looking for that consistent six innings of keeping you in the ball game from Charlie Morton, and you'll take that.
It's almost 2 months since we've seen Michael Harris. He looks great, Grant, everything we're seeing from Gwinnett. So what is the earliest he can play is Thursday in the show?
No, it's tomorrow. He should
Wednesday.
Be activated on Wednesday. He should be traveling right now or maybe have already made the trip from Gwinnett and headed up there. But he should be able to be activated on Wednesday was my understanding of it, and hopefully he'll be back in that lineup somewhere in the middle portion and just making a little bit stronger, a little bit better than it was for the 2 months without him, because that's one question mark the Braves would very much like to have to stop dealing with, and also in center field. I mean, there have been some questionable plays here and there, less so from Jared Kelnick, a couple more from Ramon Laureano last night, I think everybody will be happy to get that consistency of Michael Harris, not just at the plate, but out in center field for what he brings you there for an outfield that has been pretty much
brutal,
depleted and trying to plug in pieces for the better part of the last 3 months.
Where do you put him? Where do you put him? You're Snit. Where do you put him in the lineup?
5 or 6, I think, would probably be good. I mean, that's really where the lineup in the top four, if you've got it clicking the way that you want to, I think that having Soler, Riley, and Ozuna and Olsen right there, you want to get them the most plate appearances right now and drop Harris in 5, maybe 6, depending on if Travis d'Arnaud's in the lineup. I don't know if we're going to keep seeing Orlando Arcia batting 5th. But this season, as you've looked at this batting order, a lot of it hasn't been, well, ideally, where would you put him? It's been a, okay, who's hot right now, and how many of these guys can I bunch up together? Has kind of been, I feel like, the criteria for Brian Snitker for the better part of the last 3 months.
All right, Grant, as we talk about this wild card chase, there are teams behind us that are heated up. We talked a little bit about the Padres today. Who do you think is going to make a run? Like, in watching these other teams and talking about the importance of this West Coast road trip, which continues for our Braves, by the way, beyond this series, we got the Angels, which, again, winnable series, but, you know, who knows what happens. Who do you feel like is putting on or will put on the hunt for us in the wild card when it's all said and done? Is it the Padres? Do you feel like that's the team that's going to be right there?
It's the Padres and Diamondbacks for me, and I think if I were to choose one more that could make it intriguing, the Mets have also pushed themselves into that equation, and they have not had a fall off as of yet, and so they're right there pretty much on equal footing with the Braves in the wild card and in the division over the past week, and that's not a thing I think too many people expected this time of year either. So if there are two teams that I'm looking for that I feel like are pretty much rolling at the right time and doing exactly what they need to do, it is the Padres and the Diamondbacks, and that's going to be, I think, the main competition in this wild card spot. But as you look at that final one, I think the Mets, the Cardinals could still make a push at this. The Cubs have somehow resuscitated their playoff hopes. I didn't see that coming.
Right. Yeah.
But the same could be said for the Giants as well. So it's going to be intriguing over this next 5 or 6 weeks to see exactly who can be the last team standing when it comes to that final wild card spot.
It's just amazing to see the Phillies like 4-11 their last 15, you know. And if we had not gacked it against the Marlins, like a lot of things we could have taken back this season. But it just seems like Philly is really come. We knew they weren't going to be at a 750 winning percentage all season, Grant. But man, they've come back to earth, even with Bryce Harper raking.
No, and it's the crazy thing is if the Braves could have just had around a 500 second half, which if you look at, you know, May, June, and July, it was pretty much a 500 month each one of those months, and the fact that they were up over 500 was by virtue of having that start in March and April that had them 10 games over. If the Braves could just be a 500 or a little bit better than 500 club, it would be a very different divisional race right now. But unfortunately, a couple of 6-game losing streaks, and the latter of which losing 7 out of 8, you know, a lot of things that the Braves have had to kind of contend with in their house, and they can't really worry about what's going on with the Phillies. But I think you're right, Mike. You know, eventually, over the course of that 162, some of these clubs, even the best of these clubs, are going to go through a little bit of a dry spell, and the Phillies have hit theirs in the second half.
I was talking about this, Grant. I'm just curious. I know you collect stuff. You did all the stuff about Henry Aaron when he passed away. There's an auction that is happening, and I'm sure you saw this, where they
are
auctioning the bases and a jersey, the bases from his 715 career home run. Do you have any Henry Aaron stuff?
I've got a pretty good amount of Henry Aaron stuff, not so much in the game used variety, but I would say, you know, bat, jersey. I actually just got my baseball card collection back from getting graded. I have every Hank Aaron card in the Topps run except for the rookie. I'm still kind of looking for the right one of those to kind of add to it. But that's probably my big ones. But as far as the game use thing.
Wait. How'd your cards rate out? 8, 9? What'd they rate them?
No, man, I wish. These were a lot that I've collected over the years. You know, and it's condition sensitive.
Sure.
But I was pretty pleased with a lot of, you know, 4s and 5s there. A couple that were a little bit higher than I thought they'd be.
Okay.
And a couple that were a little bit lower than I expected them to be. But more or less, it kind of came out to being around what I had in mind when I dropped them off.
All right, man. Yeah, 715 career home run. The bases, they're saying they're going to expect at least over $100,000 for each base at this auction that they're going to have for the bases.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Right. I know that, you know, we've got, by the way, for memorabilia, I've got stuff, Carl. I got a Hank Aaron photo that I got from, we did a show years ago. He owned a bunch of Krispy Kremes, Grant. Hank, you know, because Hank had a lot of local business at the car dealership. And the way the photo was taken, I got the perfect spot from just to Mike Hank. And I just never sent it to, because you could send it with a donation to his organization. It just drives me crazy. Do you have any, by the way, do you have any photos that you never got signed? I mean, because usually with us, Carl, you get a handshake. Sometimes you're lucky enough to get a photo with somebody you really like. But you got any stuff you're like, man, I let that one slip away.
Yeah, I think that there's been so much of my career where, you know, you wear that pass that says no personal photographs, no autographs, and you just kind of get used to it.
Yep.
And that handshake is a pretty great currency. I remember in 2015, I was just walking up the ramp from the Braves dugout back to the clubhouse to go back upstairs. The double doors in front of me swung open, and right there was Henry Aaron walking through with just one other person with him. He looked at me, he smiled, and I said, "How are you?" He extended his hand. I got to shake his hand, and that was cool with me. It wasn't a long conversation, but it's a great day at the ballpark when you got to shake Hank Aaron's hand. So
right, that
kind of thing was pretty cool. But, yeah, I've got a lot of different memorabilia and autograph stuff. I don't know if we have time to cover it all here on this call.
No, it's fair. And to Grant's point, for those of you who don't understand or don't know, you're not allowed to do those things covering the team.
An event unlike any other.
Unless you're someone like that. Okay.
Even if it's your friend's bar mitzvah, you cannot ask Jacob DeGrom for six autograph baseballs.
You cannot get an autograph in the clubhouse. That's a no-no.
To your point, though, there are a lot of people, Grant, I've said this, like, oh, you know this person, you met this person, and like, yeah, and just because you don't have a picture doesn't mean it didn't happen, right? And I mean, that's the thing, to your point about you having experiences like that. Great story. Just was curious as we were talking about our Braves. Hopefully we get a good start from Charlie Morton tonight, man. We'll see what happens. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Good stuff.
You've got a great man. Is it a man cave or just an office?
No, I got both. And I have a lot of photos of people, but it wasn't in those situations. These are photos at parties and places and events and things. To Grant's point, and when I was in clubhouses or, for that matter, in locker rooms, I never broke those rules because it's sacred to be in there. When you're a reporter and you are reporting on these teams, that's the last thing guys want to do.
Can
I get an autograph? Can I get a picture? It's classless, to be honest.
Yeah, you just can't do it. That's why, you know, you just can't. I had a guy, I had a buddy, I got a pit pass for Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
And same thing. Did your friend ask for an autograph on his credential? I'm like, ex-friend.
Yeah. And by the way,
it's like, no.
You will have your media Strip. Privileges gone.
Right.
And that's the other part of it. So if you are working for an accredited company, which most people are, you're not covering the team anymore. And then that's a problem, which means you probably are out of a job. Okay.
And it happened to a guy we know. Anyway, on that note.
Unlike any other.
This is true. Coming up, he says he wants him with the team, even though he's requested a trade. The latest around the NFL, including a quarterback hurt.
Next. What's the matter with me, babe? What's the matter with you?
An event unlike any other.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.